The NBA All-Star Game has come and gone. We're heading into the NFL off-season. Major League Baseball spring training is heating up. It's an interesting time in sports. Let's get into it. Episode 61 of 3rd and 5. Welcome in to episode 61. As I say, a prime number episode. I believe if my maths is correct there. Meet Simon Hampton with Dave Rice and James Thwaite. Dave Rice is back from a wee jaunt with the family down to Mexico. Lucky him. Thwaite and I have been toughing it out in New York in the cold.
Or the fake cold, I guess. You know, like there's not really...
Been pretty good, eh?
Yeah, it hasn't been super cold, but, you know, not a lot going on in New York at the moment. It's kind of weird. Like, obviously, like, the Rangers are still playing, and, well, that's about it, because we're in the all-star break for the NBA. But I don't know about you, but this is kind of like the first weekend in a while where I've been like, don't have a lot of sport to watch. What the hell do I do with my life? Is this becoming reading?
I've been playing more sport, so... getting back into my tennis, which I've done with you two as well, and it's felt like, as we touched on, the weather's been a little bit warmer than usual, so it's been not warm but certainly not frigid, and so it's, you know, been able to get outside and play a bit of tennis and do my own sport, which has been nice.
Oh well, depressing that you're not playing tennis with us, mate. So you move out of the neighborhood and suddenly you don't want to be friends anymore, but that's fine. Dave and I will start pickleball. Yep. It's also kind of crazy to see how big pickleball has taken off, but that's another thing. Mm. I love that we're now a math podcast with the prime number reference at the beginning. But speaking of kind of obscure sports, I'm a season ticket holder for the Brooklyn Nets. Fuck my life. And they've obviously taken a bit of heat.
You never told me that.
Well, hey, yeah, exactly. It's probably a topic of shame at the moment. But this week, they're actually doing a thing for season ticket holders where they're taking us to the Royal Shuffleboard Club on Thursday. So I'm going to try shuffleboard for the first time.
Nice. That's where Kevin Durant played shuffleboard there with David Letterman on their Netflix interview. That was, you know, last summer.
I'm playing
a little bit more amicable,
and I'm playing tonight. That's where I play the Tuesday league.
Oh, are you in the Tuesday league? Honestly, hang on. Fuck both you guys. So Si's playing tennis with someone that isn't me or you, Dave, and now you're in a Sunday league for fucking shuffleboard without me. Next, I'm gonna find that like my group of friends went to like Topgolf without me or something like that. So I'm really on the outer.
Yeah, but you'll enjoy it. You'll enjoy it on Thursday. It's a pretty good environment there, eh? They kind of get the DJ going. It's very much a party atmosphere. And I'm there every Tuesday for the last sort of 5-6 weeks. And, you know, it's a Tuesday night, but it's still, they really ramp it up. There's normally always a beer that's like on a happy hour, like a $5 beer special. So, yeah, it's good fun. So, yeah.
Well, they're nice. Saving a lot of money with not having Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving on the roster, so hopefully it's an open bar. But so yeah. Shuffleboard, right? Like, it's basically like what the hell's that ice? The Winter
curling.
Olympics. Yeah, it's basically like curling, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a morph between a few sports, but yeah, curling. You have like a teammate at the other end, kind of, you know, sort of supporting like the line of the whatever they call that that's moving. You know, so there's none of that.
Which is good, because fuck you both. I wouldn't invite either of you to this, considering of what I've just found out on this pod. But, okay, this is fun. I'm excited.
Didn't you go curling in Minnesota or something? Ice fishing, that's right.
We went ice fishing. Dave almost went curling when he slipped over on the ice.
I got, mate, that shouldn't be downplayed. I got fully 90 degrees. It would have been quite a good to have video footage of that.
The only, and it's barely a funny thing, but the only funny thing about that was, you know, we'd have a few beers and Dave was rinsing out this young kid for wearing, I think it was like a Vikings jersey or something like that, and basically giving him shit because he wasn't wearing a Cowboys jersey, and then slipped over on the ice. So it was almost like karma, but not quite like karma, because that could have ended badly, but it didn't.
We've all grown up since then. The other one I played actually recently, just casually, was a bit of lacrosse. So really leaning into some of these.
This is niche.
Sports. Yeah, very, or niche-y, niche, as some people say. Niche. But yeah, but let's, none of us are playing basketball, and there's probably a good reason for that. But let's start there as we rip into the topics this week. So trade deadline came and went. We had the big trade of Russell Westbrook going to the Utah Jazz, part of a big three-team trade. It was, you know, none of us expected Russell Westbrook to ever play for the Jazz, and he won't play for the Jazz at all. He's been bought out of his contract, or that's being finalized at the moment, and he's going to sign with the Clippers and team up with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. So Westbrook's staying in LA after all. He's been much maligned this season for his performance and his fit in the dressing room with the Lakers. Do we see this going any better with the Clippers?
Honestly, like, as soon as I saw this, like, the first thing that instantly came to mind, I put this on, like, our social media, because I'm allowed back on social media after my terrible prediction about who would end up at the Nets at the trade deadline, which absolutely did not work out. But I honestly wondered if Russell Westbrook, one, owns a home in LA, which I actually think he does, but two, like, moved anywhere, or did you just stay in LA and was like, there's no fucking way I'm going to Utah. But obviously lots of deep questions on today's pod, but I don't know if this, it's a bit of a weird move for the Clippers for me. I liked the other trades that they made. I feel like it's all going to come down to what role Russell Westbrook's going to play on this team. Is he going to do what he did this season, or at least the majority of the season with the Lakers, where he's coming off the bench and kind of like, you know, controlling their second unit and doing that very well? Or are they planning on like slotting him into the starting five? Like, it's super clear that the Clippers needed something, like a little bit of edge. And, you know, that's fine. They got Bones Highland and made a couple of trades, which is great move. I don't know how much Russell Westbrook necessarily moves the needle, though. He's not the Russell Westbrook that we once knew. That's very clear. But at the same point, if you're paying him veterans minimum $5 million a year, who gives a shit? You know, like, he's going to hopefully perform for that. The main problem with this, though, for me is Russell Westbrook sucks on defense. He really does. He can facilitate the ball round, but it's about knowing the role. And what I mean by that is people with kind of memories of the Oklahoma City Thunder from years ago, when Carmelo Anthony went there, and there were all these weird press conferences after, we'd be like, oh, they're asking if I'd like come off the bench. I'm a starter, like, doing all that next to Paul George and Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook almost needs to take a page out of that book and just be like, I'm here to win a ring. I'm here to support this team. I'm going to do whatever my role is, and I'm going to excel at that role. If that's not in the starting five, that's totally fine, but we'll see.
Yeah. I completely agree. I think that's going to be what's the interesting part to watch, is how they do utilize him. I wouldn't want him in this. I don't think he should be in the starting five, and I wouldn't want him anywhere near the court in the final few minutes of a game. So that, you know, because I think he's just prone to just brain fades and doing some weird.
You don't want him heaving up a fucking three with like 10 seconds to go.
Exactly. All I've got in my head from a lot of this Laker era was like, it's just LeBron's face in the background when you know, he's thrown up these just god awful attempts. But yeah, he did show some good glimpses this year. So I think he can definitely, you know, be effective. And I think, money aside, he's got paid personally more than he needs to this year. So money's not the problem. He just is definitely going for that chip. And if he kind of just accepts that role, then they could definitely be successful. And so that will be the fascinating thing to watch over the coming weeks and months.
Well, I was sort of banging the drum last week about how I sort of thought Westbrook was almost, in a way, underrated this year. And I thought a lot of the problems with him is the fact that he was on just a huge contract and paid like $47 million a year. And Fates, you touched on this before. It's like, if you're paying this guy the veteran's minimum, then suddenly his numbers, you know, and if it was a player not called Russell Westbrook with the resume that Russell Westbrook's got, you'd still probably say this is a kind of valuable, helpful player. I agree, he's not the player you want taking shots in the last play of the game and probably not even on the court. And there's certainly question marks over his defense, but I still think he's got something to add for the Clippers. The question mark for me is, how's he going to fit in that locker room, as you say, and And is he going to be, you know, a veteran that comes in just doing whatever it takes to win a ring, or is he going to come in with a big ego and a lot of baggage? That's going to be the deciding thing for me, because I think if he comes in just wanting to win a ring, then he can kind of move the needle a little bit. And the Clippers kind of needed something that can move the needle, because the West is very close and they're sort of showing glimpses of being a quality team, but struggling to separate themselves from the pack. You look at the standings in the West, they're 33-28 as we record this on Tuesday afternoon. And they're 5 games in front of the Lakers, who are 13th. And so it's very easy for the Clippers to slip back down the leaderboard, down the Western Conference. And so I think they need to find a way to get themselves up into that top three and keep up with the Kings and Grizzlies. So, I'm pretty interested to see how this goes.
I think, one thing that I love that you touched on, which is obviously something that I think me, you and Dave go through quite a lot being Brooklyn Nets fans, is and I think even Laker fans could agree with this. You'd be fine with Russell Westbrook on your team, but you don't want to pay him $40 million to come off the bench, play limited minutes, make stupid mistakes. We probably all feel the same like that about Ben Simmons. I don't mind Ben Simmons being on our team. I get frustrated with the fact that he's paid $30+ million to make stupid mistakes. Be excellent on defense, but be kind of shit on offense. So I think if Russell Westbrook does kind of take that kind of humbling experience, and I don't know if he will or not, because, you know, it, as far as superstar goes, he does have a bit of ego. He's obviously won MVPs, etc. And I think getting to that point where you're like, okay, this is kind of the tail end of my career. He's probably got, 2-3 years left. Is he mentally there? And at that point, I don't know. But we'll see. It could work out great. I don't think it's going to work out terribly for the team, because really they're just picking up an extra addition. But I think it could be disappointing that they don't, if they don't get out of the first round in the West, experiment fail. If they get into kind of, the later rounds, conference championship, into the NBA finals, experiment, great. But we'll see. I'm holding my breath a little bit on this one.
Yeah, I mean, this is a team built to win a title, right? And win a title really soon as well, because these stars that they've got are not getting any younger either. And have dealt with injuries in the past. So Clippers will be an interesting side to watch. I thought it was funny, though. He mentioned whether Russell Westbrook ever actually went to Utah, which is funny because in Utah, Salt Lake City is where the All-Star game was this year. So it would have been funny if he'd gone there for a few days and not played in the All-Star. Well, LeBron James had been in town and all those All-Star guys had been there for that game. But that seems like a good way to pivot into the second topic, which is, and that's kind of just disappointing All-Star game. The game was pretty forgettable, really. The All-Star weekend was pretty fun with that G League guy winning the dunk contest and doubling his yearly earnings by winning $100K in that dunk contest. But Dave, I guess on the All-Star game itself, is it time to ditch that and focus on the festivities, or what do you think needs to be done there?
Yeah, I personally think the game itself, they just need to get away from it. We saw it with the NFL Pro Bowl this year, where they moved from the traditional sort of game, NFC versus AFC, and turned into sort of a flag football style game, and that was fairly popular. And at the end of the day, no one wants to get injured, so that's a sort of game that can still be aesthetically pleasing to watch and see some of these stars, especially the quick ones, while not kind of risking these guys getting injured. So I don't know if the NBA can try and find an equivalent of that. Otherwise, just stick to sort of the skills-based stuff. I watched a couple of minutes of that, of the All-Star game, and it was just so painful. It was really early in the game, and it wasn't even like, they just completely opened up to each other. Like, it was so painful. I know that there's been, I think it was the Nuggets coach came out and said, it was probably the worst game he's ever sort of witnessed. I think everyone's pretty universal in their agreement of, that's not something you'd want to watch. I even actually looked as well, I was looking at SeatGeek for something else, and it popped up like All-Star game tickets probably a few hours before the game, and they were selling for $600 was the cheapest ticket. It's like, who's paying for that? I mean, I know it's a very much a corporate event, but it's imagine paying like close to $1,000 for that. Yes, you get to see all the stars in one place, but they're not actually trying. So yeah, I personally think maybe just completely get away with the game. I know Thwaites, you've mentioned, and you might talk about it here, like doing a game like horse, you know, sort of games like street games that you play growing up, you know, you incorporate that with these guys who are sort of extremely, you know, at the absolute premium end of skill sets, and kind of do that. That would probably be, and you obviously add that to the, you know, with the, you know, the slam dunk and the 3-point. We talked about in our chat that with the success of that G League player is maybe you could bring in sort of non-NBA players into the competition just to sort of mix it up. Like it's exciting to see, you know, guys that, you know, and they can be their focus. If you're an amateur, if you a guy at the local courts who's just incredible at dunking, you might have nothing else to your game. You're never going to make the NBA. It's fine. But, you know, why not sort of get someone in? So whether it's, you know, you run this amateur FA Cup styled comp throughout the year in the build up to it, and then that person, you know, like sort of state champs or whatever, like, and then you can, especially in the social media world as well, you could obviously send in.
100%.
Yep.
Like, you know, you're nailing it, and we're doing the NBA's job for them. Also, side note, with our New Zealand accents over here, saying horse, which also kind of sounds like we're saying cause, is very risky. Always a risky play over here. But so we'll say, like, obviously, one, I saw on social media, someone actually had a fairly okay take about the NBA All-Star game. And it was like, are we the target audience? And it kind of made me like step back and think a little bit, like, are we the target audience? Like, we're obviously, some of us are in our mid-30s, other of us have yet to hit 30. But, you know, like, as a kid, when you're watching the game, you're pretty excited, you know, when you're a young kid, because Dave, like you said, you get to watch all the stars on one court. So that's kind of neat. If you want a competitive game, obviously it's not the way to go. So I think that's probably like number one that I was starting to think about. And I think number two, like with the skills challenge, the 3-point competition, the dunk competition, this dunk competition has been the best it's been in years because they let that G Leaguer in, like you said, Dave. So we're doing the NBA's job for them, but you want to make this better? Spin it off. Have an amateur come in, have a G Leaguer come in, you know, create social media content, perhaps a show about it, you know, market the hell out of it. You're making money off your TV show, have it on TNT, whatever, have Shaq guest star in the build-up to this All-Star game. Then you're suddenly making it more exciting. Because I honestly sit there and think, like, that G League are showing up NBA players, and Sai mentioned it, it's not only that he'd only earned $106,000 this year, that's his career earnings in basketball. So the fact that he went in, absolutely lit up the dunk contest, won $100,000 for it, and showed up all these NBA stars is great. So I hope we get more of that. And that's the way you need to do it. You need to give, you know, some people, you know, a reason to go out there and perform, because nobody's going to want to get shown up by a G Leaguer, and nobody's want to going to get shown up by an amateur guy.
I love the idea of getting an amateur in as well, because I know, like, everyone's often always like, I wonder how I would stack up against, like, maybe not the NBA, but like in all of these sports, it's like in baseball, like, it's like, I wonder if I could hit like a 95 mile an hour fastball, if I could get bat on it, or if I could like get a single or something. And like, if you could get an amateur in there to like go up against a pro like this, I think it would be kind of funny and kind of interesting. So I love that idea. You've got to have the pros in there, because, you know, that those are the stars, and, you know, those are the ones that are going to get the TV numbers up. But certainly getting some sort of amateur off the street element to it would be a lot of fun. But the bottom line is they've got to do something, because to me, I mean, and perhaps at the end of the day, these All-Star games are just generally boring because they're not competitive, and that's what we're wanting to see. But yeah, I mean, I just had no interest in the NBA All-Star game, just as I had no interest in the Pro Bowl game, because it's just completely boring to me. So, yeah, I would love to see them get a bit creative and make some improvements. But let's move on to, or just before we move on to the next topic, which is going to circle back to how the NBA standards are shaping up. Thwaites, anything more to add on the All-Star game?
I just think it's funny how the NBA's gone out there, tried to make it better, had a shit ton of controversy around having Karl Malone, who was one of the like presenters announcers of the weekend, who his history of when he was 20 impregnating a 13-year-old girl came up, and then John Stockton, who's a anti-vaxxer, come up. A bunch of racist stuff happened in the arena with the arena people. And then, not only on top of all of those things, you had, like Dave said, the Nuggets coach come out and say the game's shit. And then players come out and just say it's absolutely awful. Like, what, like that part of the weekend could not have gone worse for the NBA.
Yeah, a bit of controversy in that as well. All right, looking back, looking ahead, I guess, at the rest of the NBA season, this is when things start to get good. I mean, to be fair, I remember last year, by this point of the season, I started to kind of just want it to be playoff time already. Because you kind of see who the good teams are and you look forward to the playoff matchups. But if we're looking at the Western and Eastern Conference right now, there's some good teams, Nuggets, Celtics, Bucks, those lots who are kind of separating themselves at the top. But if you had to pick one team that could really go on a run and maybe they're not outside the playoff spots yet, but certainly in the lower seeds and could go on a run and kind of surge up the standing down the back half of the season and make things quite interesting, who would you pick? And this could come from either conference. So Dave, who would you go for to make a bit of a run?
The teams that for me, it's the two teams that have now got players from that used to play on our team. In Brooklyn, that are just going to be fascinating for me. Like Phoenix, I mean, they're fifth. They're not that far away from, being right up. But obviously, Durant is due back probably any day now when the sort of NBA season kicks back up. Certainly back that was when he was in Brooklyn. That was the time frame we were being told. So obviously that's going to be the team that everyone stays healthy, they click. If we're all expecting them to be the watch out team. So I think clearly that's not a very hot take at all, is it? But that's the sort of unknown as to whether, Durant can come back and stay fit and then obviously I'm sure he's the sort of player he'll definitely sort of fit in well. I wouldn't be worried as a Phoenix fan for there. Looking at the rest of the sort of, the play-in teams and things, not a lot of those Western teams kind of fill me with a lot of confidence. I mean, the Warriors would be the other one, just purely because, they're not that far away. They're ninth at the moment, but they're only three or four games back from being, sort of fourth or fifth. And they're, again, just a proven team that if they can get on a run, then, I'd expect them to be, they'd be a very challenging or very tough team to play in the, because when you look at the rest of the West, Denver's probably the only hard place to play away. And you guys might disagree with that, but I think Denver, with the altitude, that would probably be you don't want to be going to Denver in a seven-game series where you have to play more away games. But I feel like the Warriors would probably look at the rest of the lineup. If they had to go play the Grizzlies, they don't mind. Sacramento, definitely not. If you're looking at who they may have, I mean, what do you think?
I mean, if you're Golden State, like if you've got a healthy Golden State team, you're probably good. This is exactly what happened last year. When they're healthy, they're fantastic. But the problem is this year, one, being healthy, but two, their away game record absolutely fucking sucks. They just absolutely get like smashed on the road. I don't know what it is. I mean, looking at the West for me, Phoenix is hardly a hot take, but I will say the thing that really does worry me about Phoenix now is their depth and their defense. Kevin Durant doesn't get as much credit as he probably should with the way he's changed his defensive game this year. But I'm worried about the depth and their bench rotations. Obviously, if, Booker, Durant, Aiden, are going off in a game, you're probably not same, but you're probably getting close to, what a Harden, a Kyrie Irving and Durant can do in a game. CP3 staying healthy is going to be the big thing for them. But for me in the West, it's going to be the New Orleans Pelicans. I think obviously Zion's the big injury concern there, but I don't want to come up against that team if I'm in the West. So we'll see what happens and how long Zion is out again for. put some respect on the Nuggets. They are number one in a very difficult West Conference. So hopefully they continue. On the East, for me, realistically, like, it's Boston's and Milwaukee's to lose. But I'm looking at Cleveland. Cleveland seem to have gelled really well as a team. Obviously, Donovan Mitchell has been absolutely lights out so far. They've just released done a buyout agreement with Kevin Love. He's now a part of the Miami Heat. I don't think the Miami Heat are going anywhere. And just while we're talking about the Eastern Conference, Lonzo Ball has been ruled out for the rest of the season. So Chicago not making moves and moving some of these players like at their trade deadline when they absolutely could have been tanking for Wembanyama and doing other activities looks even more like an error now. But for me, Cleveland in the East and then New Orleans in the West. Sai?
Interesting on the Bulls because they've also sounds like they're going to get Pat Beverley, who was sent to Orlando and bought out in the same way Russell Westbrook was. So that's a win now move for the Bulls. But they're 26 and 33 at the moment, have lost their last six and haven't really looked good all season. And as you say, Lonzo Ball's out. So for me, I'm looking at the Raptors and thinking they were looking like they might be sellers. Then they weren't at the deadline and made some additions as well. I think the Raptors are better than 28 and 31. They could jump up the leaderboard. And I'm looking at the teams in front of them and thinking, well, they can probably get over the Wizards. They can probably get over the Hawks. I could see them getting over the Heat and maybe even the Knicks as well. And then we've got the Nets in front of them and we kind of don't know what the Nets are going to be like the rest of the way. But I think there's potential for the Raptors to jump up, certainly not into the top four, but to jump up into a position where they avoid the play-in tournament even. So I think there's improvements in the Raptors team for sure. Looking at the East, looking at the West, I'm going to say the Lakers. I like the trade deadline that the Lakers had. They didn't have too many options for what they could do, but they, I think, did things that improved their team and improved their chances. Same sort of, deal. It's not turning them into a title contender, but I think the Lakers have a chance to climb up the standings there. The challenge for the Lakers, though, is that when you look at the bottom of the playoff spots in the West, you're looking at the Pelicans in seventh, the Timberwolves in eighth, the Warriors in ninth, and the Thunder in tenth. But it's not, maybe you can see the Thunder dropping out. Maybe you see the Timberwolves. Maybe the Warriors go a bit down with injuries. But to me, it's not quite as obvious who's going to drop out of that West and give up a spot to the Lakers if they can right this ship and climb the leaderboard with a few wins. So, it's kind of tricky. But I think the Lakers have potential to improve vastly on their 27 and 32 record.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's actually, when I was quickly looking at the leaderboard, I didn't go that far down, but I completely agree that the Lakers did very well in that sort of in the trade deadline and there's promise there. And so I wouldn't be surprised. I'd expect them to be in the playoffs, whether it's the play in and then obviously go from there.
You would hope so. It's the Anthony Davis thing, right? Like if they've got a healthy Anthony Davis, like 100%, I don't want to go up against that team in the playoffs. But obviously
the exact same thing applies to the Pelicans. Like my reason, I didn't absolutely necessarily agree with your take on that. And it's not, if Zion comes back and is fit, then I completely agree. The Pelicans are a team you do not want to play. But he literally, it was a hamstring injury on the 2nd of January and he's about to be out for 2 months and we don't really know when he's back. So that is a concern.
Just re-aggravated. He's out again for a while. Obviously, he's had a lot of flack about his weight and the effort on his knees and stuff like that. So we'll see what happens. But I'm just in love with Grand Theft Alvarado. Alvarado is my new favorite player in basketball. He's a Brooklyn kid. Absolutely love him. Undrafted. He plays for the Pelicans. Obviously, put some stuff up on social media about him. So, I'm just fanboying at this point.
Yeah. Dwight, you just messaged us to say ex-breaker RJ Hampton just got waived by the Orlando Magic. Tough outcome for him. He was it's disappointing. Didn't he go in the first round? I think he went in the first round.
Yeah.
There's a guy in the Breakers at the moment. Is it the French guy, Rupert Rayon Rupert. There's a guy in the Breakers at the moment who's going to be a first round pick, and he seems like a really talking about him as a sort of mid first round pick. So I'm kind of hoping the Nets can find a way to pick him up because he seems quite highly rated. So and yeah, I think Sean Marks has been taking a fair few hybrid summer trips down under to take holiday and watch him play AMBL. And probably catch up with some family in New Zealand. So good little two birds, one stone for Sean Marks. So but it'd be cool if there was another sort of Kiwi link, I guess, on the break on the Nets next year. But let's talk a bit of NFL now, and moving into the fourth topic. Off-season's going to really heat up pretty soon. I think we're going to get decisions on some of the quarterbacks because I think they're going to be the first dominoes to fall. I saw Aaron Rodgers was playing golf the other day and someone asked him what he was going to do and he said he's not going to go to San Francisco, so we can rule that one out. Not that I think anyone was ever talking about it. But what do we see is, you know, what's going to happen with Derek Carr, who's also just been released from the Raiders, so he can choose his next destination, and Aaron Rodgers.
I love the fact that Derek Carr did not play ball with the Raiders. And I think as a Raiders fan, you're probably not too pissed off either because of the way that that organization treated Derek Carr. Derek Carr has actually performed pretty fucking well at the Raiders over the years. You know, he hasn't had a lot of weapons to work with. Obviously, this year, Devontae Adams, but, you know, injuries with Darren Waller and a couple of other guys, their slot receiver, whose name I'm forgetting at the moment. So I like the fact that he refused to play ball with his trade request. He met with the Jets the other day. Apparently, they got on like a house on fire. Apparently, they're both very interested in a long-term deal. So we'll see where that ends up. Apparently, like, New York Jets are keeping their options open. They've already started conversations and talks around the NFL with a couple of other teams and a couple of other agents. Obviously, the big ones out there are Jimmy Garoppolo sitting out there as well. But they did request permission to talk with Aaron Rodgers and start those trade talks with the Green Bay Packers. That's going to be the interesting one for me. I think Derek Carr would be an absolutely excellent fit in New York at the Jets. I don't know if they should give away all of their first round picks. And with the NFL, you can only go 3 years in advance, I think, with first round picks and a bunch of young players to get a guy that's probably only going to come in for a year or two, especially when Aaron Rodgers stood back. And there's been leaks from the organization that have come out, whether they're true or not, basically saying that the Packers are super unimpressed with Aaron Rodgers and they don't want him back at all. So we'll see where that ends up. I think the other kind of interesting curveball that's kind of just developed in the last few days is that Daniel Jones, the New York Giants, has basically, there have been rumors coming out that he wants a long-term deal and he wants minimum $35 million a year. So the Giants are this other team now that I'm going to start to keep an eye on, you know, and that's a potential landing spot for these guys as well. Because if I'm the New York Giants, I don't want to commit long-term to Daniel Jones, $35 to $45 million a year, with what he's put out. So watch this space.
Yeah, I like where your head's at there. I mean, you're obviously now a New York Jet fan, as of about 6 or 7 days ago.
I'm still debating that, Dave. Like, I'm still stuck in my head with that.
As a side plot, it has been crossing my mind as to why, you know, your wife is from Denver or the Colorado area, so. And you support the Avalanche and the hockey. I'm like, why don't you support the Broncos? Is it because you don't feel that very secure with Russell, with an aging Russell Wilson at the helm?
I just, like, I can't watch a lot of games. Like, at least Philadelphia in my head was closer. And like I said to the both of you guys, like, it's 18 years that I've followed the Eagles. So it was the McNabb Super Bowl with the Patriots, not the Nick Foles Super Bowl with the Patriots. So it's a long time.
But with the Jets, that's probably the most, it's one of the more fascinating teams. There's obviously a lot of QB needy teams in this offseason, but the Jets is a big one. And you know, you just said Daniel Jones could be sort of throw him in the mix. I think Derek Carr is a good option. I completely agree. The problem with Rodgers is, yeah, what you have to give up to get him. And if you're the Jets, you don't want to do that. I think there's other potential free agents, and Carr being a good example, that you do not need to be giving up, you know, your future to get a guy. And in the case of Rodgers, what are you going to get? Like a couple of years, probably tops.
And you're probably going to have to give away Williams, Gardner, Breece Hall, like something, because otherwise why the hell are the Packers going to do it? So this is where it gets hard. Like, and I'm like, do you want a freebie? And you got a freebie with Jimmy Garoppolo or Derek Carr, or do you want to like spend heaps to get absolutely a Hall of Fame quarterback? But how long is that Hall of Fame quarterback that's earning $60 million a year going to be around?
How funny would it be if Geno Smith went to the Jets?
I don't know if that's happening, Dave, but hey look, you know, like, there's rumors swirling around Lamar Jackson may end up at the Falcons now, so that's happening. Obviously, like, who's the quarterback from Chicago? Yeah, Justin Fields. Justin Fields may be on the potential trade block, depending on what these rumors are. San Francisco's obviously an interesting one with Trey Lance. I don't know. This offseason is going to be bloody interesting from the point of view of quarterbacks, where these quarterbacks end up, and also running backs. There are so many running backs available in this coming year. So franchise tag galore, I feel, this year for a lot of teams on QBs and RBs. But Si, what are you thinking, mate?
I think there's so much that could happen in the quarterback market that we don't even really like consider. Like, I think there's so many teams, there's so much movement that could happen with the combination of the draft and the way the draft is shaping up currently, and the quarterbacks available, and, you know, who's picking first and what have you. And then the number of free agents and also the trade candidates. I just think there's so many moving parts in this quarterback market that, you know, you look at teams like the Colts are going to want to, you know, find a quarterback. You know, what are the Lions going to do? And the, you know, the Seahawks with a tricky spot with Geno and how much they pay him, and the Giants, as you say. Like, I think there's an absolutely fascinating quarterback market, and I think it could hold up the rest of the free agency as well, because as teams sort of maneuver that and try and work out the best deal and the best way forward. Because, you know, as you say, if you're the Jets, are you throwing the chips in on a guy who's probably a better quarterback, maybe, but you're only going to get 2 years of him and Aaron Rodgers? Or are you going to try and, you know, find someone longer term, like Derek Carr, or go suddenly all in on someone like Lamar Jackson? So I think this quarterback market is fascinating and going to be, you know, we had this offseason last year in the NFL was one of the best we could remember, and this current one coming up could be pretty good too. So very much looking forward to following it.
Yeah, just one more thing to add there is, I think compared to last year, what we didn't have last year was a draft with a whole bunch of QBs that teams were looking at, right? This year we've got definitely three probably in the top eight picks, or certainly three in the top 10. And with Richardson, you'd probably say four in the top 20. So there's, you know, four QBs that you're expecting to go in the sort of probably the front half of the first round. So that's what you're sort of saying, the domino effect. And there's so many different ways this year that teams can go. And, you know, you just mentioned it, Thwaites, in terms of, you know, the Bears have the number one pick. Are they going to get rid of Fields and go for Bryce Young? Like, there's just, which that option wasn't available last year. You only had Kenny Pickett, who went around 20th, was the only first rounder. So there's that aspect as well. You can just go all in on a rookie and try and develop around that. As you say, Simon, super fascinating. And I think even more fascinating than last year, which was probably unprecedented in terms of the carousel and the movement that we saw.
Imagine if the Jets just shock us all and like traded all the way up the draft to get one of the young guys. That'd be a bit of a curveball. Let's circle back to the NBA and to last year. Last year we did a draft of each of our all-star teams. So we picked five starters and one sixth man reserve, and we cycled through and picked our team. So 18 total players got picked, and it means it's not a unanimous all-star team, but rather, you know, the three best teams we could come up with, and then debated who's would win, and we debated that most of the year. So we're going to do that again this year. Just realized I haven't determined a way to figure out a way to determine the draft order. Off the top of my head, I'm thinking, well, we did do Super Bowl picks, and maybe we can go off who was closest on that. So if we do that, Dave will have the decision on where he picks first. Then I'll be second, then Thwaites, who picked the Eagles, will be third. And it'll obviously be a snake draft. Are we all happy with that?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Oh, okay, Dave, where do you want to pick first? Where do you want to take the first pick? And then, you know, first and
yeah, yeah, understand. I wasn't prepared for that. What's the best pick? Where would you guys pick?
No. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I'd pick 1, 2, or 3.
Well, there we go.
Come on, countdown clock.
I'll go with the number one pick.
Okay. So good, where are you going, mate?
I'll take third pick. Right, you can
go third. Damn it, I was hoping you'd go third. I'll go second. All right, Dave, who are you taking first off the board, mate?
Good overall, mate.
Nikola Jokic.
All right.
I feel like right that. Yeah.
Interesting, in the actual All-Star draft on the day of, he went second to last. So with the first pick, I'm gonna go a bit interesting. I'm gonna take Jason Tatum. Absolutely been great this year, young dude. Really like him a lot, which says a lot because I really hate the Celtics. Si, who are you taking?
I'm pretty surprised you went for a Boston Celtic. I'm gonna take Giannis.
That's 2 years in a row you've taken Giannis. So
is it two years in a row?
No, he was my captain last year. He was my guy.
There we go. All right, Dave. On to you, because I don't even want to talk about the Greek freak.
It's snake draft.
God damn it.
Snake draft. So after that, I'm going to take Luka Doncic.
Nice. All European teams.
Giannis and Doncic together. Whites, Europe.
God, this is a tough one. Where I'm thinking in my head, I think I'm going to have to take a big here. What really grinds me, because one of the only bigs left is Joel Embiid, and taking from two teams that I really hate. Yeah, exactly. So I'll take Joel Embiid. He's obviously good. He's obviously a big center. He does super well on the court. The 76ers play just this boring brand of basketball for me. But at least, hey, I know I'm going to get at least 20 free throws a game. Dave, who are you picking here, mate?
I get the next two picks, right?
Yeah, that's the way snake draft works.
Kevin Durant.
Who was injured, so you're an idiot.
What do you mean? It's irrelevant. It's part of the All-Star. It's not for the playing on the All-Star weekend. It's for the year.
No.
Yeah, it's been.
No, we're taking All-Stars. We're taking All-Stars. So the roster from the All-Star game.
Was that what we're doing? I can obviously do a new pick. I mean, I was just doing it.
We're just picking players based on the season.
But Durant is injured, right? Like at the moment. And last year, I know we were like, when we were picking players, we avoided injury.
Yeah, but I picked him.
Okay.
And also, I think he's like pretty much about to come back. If he was injured and like, you could argue maybe Zion with an unknown or someone that's like Kawhi that was out all of last year. That was someone I think we removed. But Durant's literally out for a month. Other guys have been out for a month. It's just the timing happens to be over the All-Star weekend.
All right.
Who is that player from the Clippers you just mentioned?
Yeah, exactly. Also, Dave, if you want the option, mate, Lonzo Ball's like injured for the rest of the year, so he is available to draft if you want to take him.
And then I'm now tossing it. I want a small now. My next pick, I'll go with my boy, Ja Morant.
Yeah, it is.
Forget about his off-field stuff. I've got to pick him for his on-field. I was very tempted to go. I'm not going to say. Just oh yeah.
No, next. I know exactly. Know exactly what you're going to do because it's the guy that I'm going to have to take here, which is Kyrie Irving. I hate my team, but they're excellent. But I hate
just so, pick Harden next, bro.
Honestly, I was looking at Donovan Mitchell as well.
Just write it in
and
now.
Kyrie Irving. But I'm going to have to take Kyrie Irving, ignoring his off-field activities, and he's an excellent basketball player as long as he's healthy. So my team of probably the most hated people in the NBA so far, we got Jason Tatum at the Celtics, Joel Embiid from the 76ers, and Kyrie Irving, who is now a Dallas Maverick. So yay me. Sly, what are you doing here, mate?
So I'll pick LeBron. I'll pick LeBron to start things off. Still pretty good when he's on the court. And I guess LeBron or Giannis could maybe hold up the center position, given, you know, we're not really picking rosters that are actually going to play a game. Trying to determine who my fourth player would be. Steph Curry's been injured a lot. I'm going to go Donovan Mitchell here. I think he's been fantastic for the Cavs coming over there. So I'll pick Donovan Mitchell.
Nice. I actually really like that a lot. I think here, you know, just with Embiid, Tatum, and Kyrie, I've got a lot of guys there that can, you know, put up points and kind of monster to the rim. So part of me was actually looking at Pascal Siakam here, but I think, like, I'm okay from that point of view. So I'm probably, weirdly, going to go, I think SGA. Alexander. I think, like,
damn, he
gives me the extra, like, power that I need there. You know, he can shift the ball around, you know, and he would be a good facilitator for my team. So I'm taking SGA.
That's who I was tossing up, actually. 50-50 with Ja. It was, I think he's been performing unbelievably well this year. I think his numbers are huge. I think they're in the 30s. Yeah. He's really come of age this year. Okay, so I get two picks now. I want a small. Yeah, I don't think Curry's given enough this year. So I might go with, I'm tossing up between Edwards and Brown. I'll go Jaylen Brown.
Jaylen Brown has been great. And, you know, when we talked about the All-Star rosters coming out, we were talking about at the time, like, how we would take Jaylen Brown over Kyrie Irving. So I like it.
Yep. And then I'll go for a big. So I think I have down on my list here, I've got Paul George, Siakam, and Adebayo. Might go Siakam, eh? I'm being a little bit swayed by Paul George. I've only been to a game, you know, one live game recently, and it was the Clippers, and Paul George was so good. Just watching him do his thing. But I'll go Siakam.
Love it. I have a soft spot for Siakam. I would have loved to see him on the Nets as well, but obviously in a different timeline maybe. I think here for me, just with the team that I've built, what I need a bit more help with is, I think, some consistent three-point shooting. Hell, some consistent half-point shooting. So I'm going to take Damian Lillard. It's going to be Dame time for me. So he is a current three-point champion. Why not? I think he rounds out my team well. Yeah. Sorry.
Damn, love that. Cool. I'm picking the guy that is helping the Sacramento Kings return to relevance, DeMontis Sabonis. Good little defensive anchor for this team, which doesn't look like it'll defend a lot. So I'm going to pick him as my fifth player. And I've also got a sixth player come in. And I think, much as I don't love, tempted to take, I just can't bring myself to pick James Harden. It just can't happen. so I want to just pick Nick Claxton. But I don't think I can do that either. I am going to pick Steph Curry here. Because I think if he's the sixth guy you pick, he's a pretty good sixth guy to pick. So, and that'll deepen my 3-point shooting and give me a bit of championship experience as well. So Steph Curry is my sixth and final pick.
Nice. I like the team. I think one of the things that you touched on though was defense. So there's two guys that I'm tossing up here between De'Aaron Fox from the Sacramento Kings. I think is absolutely lights out. He had an excellent game against Dallas last week. He was excellent to watch. I'm also tossing up with Jaren Jackson Jr. To really help with my defense. He's obviously favored to win Defensive Player of the Year this year. So I think with the roster that I've got, especially with, you know, Tatum and his ability to get back, Kyrie's ability to not be super great on defense, I think my sixth man would be Jaren Jackson Jr. here.
Okay. There's been a few new guys that have come on to teams here from last year. I'm happy about that.
There has been, but I wonder if you've just jinxed this by leaving and leading Dave into potentially taking DeMar DeRozan from the Chicago Bulls.
You've got to take DeMar DeRozan, given how much you talked about him last year.
I bloody love him. Probably at this time last year, probably the best player in the NBA on form. yeah, so I'm now tossing up. I'm going to put as my sixth man a small. If I was going real defense minded, I might go Drew Holiday, who I do am a big fan of. But I'm going to go Anthony Edwards. He was someone that I was close to picking earlier. So I think I'll put him as my sixth player. I think he's had another guy who's had a huge season. I think it was his first All-Star on the weekend just gone. But yeah, that's my team.
I like it. There's been some interesting players that we haven't really talked about at all that did not make teams. So Kawhi Leonard is definitely one. We've got a couple of New York Knicks players who didn't make our list either. Ben Simmons obviously is not making anyone's list. Any other bigs that, you know, stars that were kind of missing out? I feel like there wasn't a lot of Timberwolves apart from obviously Anthony Edwards.
Zion, Paul George, Adebayo, Halliburton.
Yeah, Halliburton got put in as an injury. No, he was reserved. God, who's the other one? Bloody Brandon Ingram really kind of went missing. I thought he would have been up there as well.
Yeah. I mean, the Clippers are in fourth place. We had no Clippers pick. Nets are in fifth. No Nets. So obviously the two ex-Nets to get picked.
No Jimmy, yeah, Butler.
No Jimmy Butler. No Trae Young's been a bit disappointing this year. But yeah, no Paul George or Kawhi Leonard. Those are two losers. They're Devin Booker missed out. So. I mean, it's tough. 18 players, there's not many players to pick from, but I do like the way that there's a lot of guys that are coming through that are a lot younger. You know, guys like Jaren Jackson Jr., Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, Sabonis, Edwards. So cool to see some younger guys. So we will put those teams out on social media and debate them throughout the rest of the season, no doubt. But let's wrap up episode 61 of Third and Five. Thanks so much for listening, as always, and making it this far. And we will talk next week.
Bye.